Now for our Hebrew lesson, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. You'll find it in the Bible on page 650. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me, he has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make the everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the earth brings forth and shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Now please join me for Psalm 126 in the hymnal on page 847. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. And our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go forth weeping, bearing the seed of sowing, shall come home with the shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. It can be found on page 193, the New Testament section of your Pew Bible, or on page 250 if you're using the larger print edition. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me offer you now the opportunity to stand as you are able, that we might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then 19 through 28. If you're following along in your pew Bible, you'll find it on page 86 of the New Testament, and in the large print edition on page 111. Hear these words. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Once again, I offer my deep gratitude to Reverend Daniel Claywitter for leading worship and preaching in my absence last Sunday. You may not know this, but your preacher from last Sunday is an accomplished published poet. So in light of that, let me remind you of a beautiful line from Daniel's sermon. "We are no different than anyone else, except for the important fact that we have an advocate to help us, Jesus the Christ, who the Gospel of Mark tells us baptizes with the fire of the Holy Spirit, so that regardless of our shortcomings, we are inducted as disciples into God's grand adventure of salvation." These are wonderful, well-crafted words of real significance. Well, today we will again consider John the Baptist and God's grand adventure of salvation. I want to echo and to amplify what Daniel preached and what the scriptures have taught us as we continue this Advent crescendo toward Christmas. I ask you to join me as we consider rejoicing, faithfulness, fruitfulness, and God's personal invitation to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, as you're probably aware, for two Sundays in a row, we've read about John the Baptist and his preaching. Last week from the Gospel of Mark, this week from the Gospel of John. Because clearly this is a rich chapter of the Advent story. So important is this prophet and his message to people of faith that all four Gospels have similar stories of John the Baptist. So let me round it out by sharing with you several verses from the Gospel of Luke. "The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able to from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.' And the crowds asked him, 'What then should we do?' In reply, he said to them, 'Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. There are lots of amazing images here to think about. In a fairly direct parallel, let me remind you of another image. The Rocky Mountain Conference is in the middle of a four-year emphasis using the image of the Tree of Life. If you've come to our church conferences these past 2 years, you've seen this image. And if you have a bulletin, you've seen it on the back of your bulletin. So take a look at it there. Cultivating the Tree of Life, it says, faithful at the top and, fruitful at the top and faithful at the bottom. The key here is the connection and the distinction between faithfulness and fruitfulness on this Tree of Life. And simply put, faithfulness refers to those things at our roots that we do to build up and to express our faith in Jesus Christ. Fruitfulness, on the other hand, refers to the corresponding actions that we take as a result of our faith and of our acceptance of God's love. And you probably noticed that John the Baptist used a similar metaphor of a tree and its fruit. But when you think about him, John the Baptist had an image, an approach that was direct and bold and quite confrontational. According to Scripture, he proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, but he also yelled at the crowds who showed up on the banks of the Jordan River, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance." Well, soon after this, Jesus began his own ministry with a similar message delivered in a much gentler tone. According to Mark, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus would later make it crystal clear to Nicodemus and therefore to us, in these words from the Gospel of John, of Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The message is the same, although delivered in very different ways, and it is quite simple. When you accept the love of God, you are offered the free gift of eternal salvation through that Jesus bought through his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. In order to prepare your heart, to prepare your life for Jesus, you must repent of your sins and turn your life over fully to Christ through your faithfulness. Your natural response to the love of God is to be moved to action and fruitfulness by sharing the love of Christ in real and tangible ways. Advent is a time of preparation, penitence, and somber reflection as we hear John the Baptist's robust call to repent of our sins. But this third Sunday of Advent is also a time for rejoicing. This is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. This comes from the introit in the Catholic Mass, "Gaudete in Domino Semper," rejoice in the Lord always. This call to rejoicing is the point of the pink candle in our Advent wreath. It's the point of Paul's message to the Thessalonians. I can think of no better way to prepare your heart for the arrival of Jesus Christ. So listen. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Just as John the Baptist referred to Isaiah, let me remind you of these beautiful Gaudete words from that early prophet. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord, and my whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Hear the echoes of rejoicing, faithfulness, fruitfulness, and God's call to discipleship. Finally, my brothers and sisters, as we prepare for Jesus to come into our midst, listen once again to the very beginning of today's gospel. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. My friends, I wonder if you might do something to challenge and to benefit yourself. I wonder if you might stand in front of a mirror and take a good hard look and then repeat these words. There was a person sent from God whose name is mine. I came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through me. I myself am not the light, but I came to testify to the light that is Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Be fruitful. Gaudete in Domino Semper. Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen.